Hello and welcome to episode 304 of Conversation Street. Sorry we're late, everybody. Gemma's poorly. Aren't you, Gemma? You're sick this week.
Yep.
Do you want to tell people about your sickness? Look, there's a cough and everything. I wasn't even put on.
What do you want me to say?
How sick are you? Just so the people know how whether they can get enraged or not about us having a podcast 24 hours late.
I'm currently deciding whether I want flowers or donations to a charity at my funeral.
You've had some sort of...
I've got a lung infection, but then someone else told me you can't have a lung infection, sure it's a chest infection. And then someone else said it's probably bacterial. And then the nurse said don't take antibiotics because they make it worse, but she gave me a prescription. And I keep throwing up blood and green chunks.
And that is how sick Gemma is.
So
And you've barely been able to speak all week.
This is the best my voice has been.
I think it is.
And also there's a thunderstorm going on outside.
There's a thunderstorm going on right outside, so there might be some atmospheric rumblings.
Oh, and I haven't slept.
Listen.
Oh, did it?
Did you hear that?
Oh, I think it came out. Oh. I haven't slept more than 4 hours at a time all week.
No, and Gemma's been sleeping on the sofa for like 3 or 4 nights, and I have offered to sleep on the sofa as well.
I can't do it. But I get worried that I'm waking you up by coughing, and then so I'd rather... But this is ruining my two favourite activities, which is sleeping and eating. Because I've got no interest in either of them at the moment.
Oh well.
Gemma, this isn't a life, Michael.
For anyone who's been wondering if I've been looking after Gemma all this time she's been sick, she has cooked the dinner every day.
And you still...
That's probably for the best.
Cool.
Doesn't want to make things worse. Yeah, I don't know. It's obviously not contagious what Gemma's got, because I feel absolutely fine.
Well, that's why they reckon it's bacterial.
Right, anyway, enough about that. We're just going to do a shorter episode tonight to save my wife's voice.
Here for moral support.
We're going to do a little bit of Corey history. We're going to do street talk, and that may be actually just it. So do you want to? You've got prepared for your Corey history quiz, haven't you, Gemma? Let's see if I can do better than the last few losing streaks the other previous weeks.
Okay.
You ready to go? Gemma's just having a cup of tea to wet her whistle.
Yeah. Right. So. You said you cheated and saw the answer, so I'm going to give you a softball.
Okay, thanks. I didn't cheat, I just accidentally.
Who was born on the 16th of April, 1958?
Well, I thought I saw that it was Gail. Is it Gail? That's a pretty impressive birthday. So Gail turned 60 this week, and it wasn't even mentioned.
Gail Potter.
Happy birthday, Gail.
Harry's aunt. The nice aunt.
Oh, yeah. Not Aunt Petunia.
17th. Of April in 2013.
Yeah.
What did Faye accuse Anna of?
Hitting her. Yeah. Was it hitting her?
Well, you've got teams.
I remember that one.
Right, okay. On the 18th of April 1988, Mike Baldwin was arrested.
1988?
Yeah, but what for?
Oh, blimey. I don't know what that was. Was it some kind of alcohol related offence?
Oh, yeah.
Was it drink driving?
Yeah.
Yes, that was good.
There's
that was good.
Not many
that was a
alcoholic
guess.
Things you can get arrested for, are there?
Well, you know. Beating someone up when you're drunk.
Buying drinks for kids is another one.
Yeah, that's good. 3 for 3 so far.
Right.
It's the power of the thunder.
It's, yeah. 19th of April, 2013. Who appears on the street for the first time? And I'll give you a supplementary clue.
19th of April, 2013. Someone who's been in it for about 5 years. Give me a bit of a clue. I might have an idea, actually.
Is it really obvious?
But give me a clue.
Shall I tell you what colour their hair is?
What colour their hair is? Yeah.
I don't know how to get...
Yeah.
Blonde.
Is it Sinead?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it would be Sinead. Wow, I'm doing really good this week.
My other clue was, and is set up with Chesney, but I thought that was too obvious.
Yes.
Would you have guessed, what's her face? Katie.
Katie? Katie who?
The one that's dead.
Oh, no, no.
Because that was another person who was set up.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Hey, right. more.
This is your final one.
Oh, come on. Can I get full marks?
On the 20th of April, 1958.
58? But how could it be 58? Oh, before the show was even on. Okay.
Which Rover's barmaid was born?
58. So that's someone who's going to be 70 now, yeah?
Yeah. So you know there's nobody in the show who's 70 who's a barmaid.
Is it?
So it's definitely not someone who's in the show now. She's been in lots of episodes because I checked. It wasn't just a random.
Is it somebody like particularly famous, or is it? It's not a landlady or anything.
Oh, I don't know. No.
Oh, I've got no idea.
She's played by Sue Jenkins.
Oh, Gloria.
Gloria.
Yes. Brilliant.
Does it count if you got a clue?
Yes, it definitely counts if I got a clue. Thank you for that, Chris. You've really
thank you, Michael.
Bolstered my spirits this week.
Finally done it.
Right,
birthdays.
Oh yeah, who we got coming up?
21st of April. Today. Bhavna Limbachia.
Happy birthday, Bhavna Limbachia. I sent out a birthday tweet already today.
Do you know what?
She didn't like it though.
Didn't we meet her?
We did. We met
around
her.
Around her birthday last year.
We met her a couple
year.
Of days before her birthday last year, yeah.
Because they were talking about going out or something.
Mm.
Didn't invite us, did they? 22nd of April. Ivan Beavis, who plays Harry Hewitt, was born.
Yeah. What year? How old's he?
Oh, damn it. No, none of your business.
I'll let you off for just a sec.
William Roach, who plays Ken Barlow.
Does he? Does he really?
I told you earlier it was Ken Roach. Okay, 26th.
You haven't written down
I'm
any of those.
Starting to lose out of voices.
This is yeah. Great.
Jonathan Kaplan, who plays Martin Javeski, was born.
Okay.
Anyway, it's not when... Actually, no, I'm not doing when they were born. I'm doing birthdays. So you don't need a day, a year. You just need
but
a
if
day.
If you're sending them a card, how do you know what number to put on the front of it?
You don't buy them one. You just get them one of those pictures of, like, two ladies with a funny caption.
Okay. Go.
27th of April, Chrissy Bonn, who plays Jenna Kamara, was born.
Ah, Jenna. Everybody's favourite. Right, well, happy birthday to all those people, even the dead ones.
I don't know who's dead.
No, I don't know either. Right, okay, we'll just do some street talk now then, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, okay, then street talk. I don't even remember whether I said earlier what dates we're doing. Did I say 16th to the 20th of April? If you didn't know from Gem the Quiz, that is what we're doing, which
and
is this past
week. And you never said
what
your name was either.
I'm Michael,
because I was
going to
say,
Gemma.
I'm ill, as a joke, but you ruined it.
This podcast is just different to all the other ones. Right, it was a good week on Coronation Street this week. And I'm happy to talk loads to you about it, Gemma. Are you ready to do lots of talking?
What? I'm going to do listening.
You're doing listening this week, fine. But I thought it was a good week on Coronation Street.
I'm
we had
like a kid in your class and I'm sitting nicely on the carpet and listening to story time while you're telling what happened on Coronation Street.
I like to read poems to my class,
Do
actually.
A poem about Coronation Street.
There once was a couple called Kana. I don't know.
One of the girls was called Rana.
Yeah. The other was Kate, and she really did great.
But don't talk on Twitter about Kana.
No, you can't. That's a proper Edward Lear style limerick where he repeats the first line, isn't it? Anyway, we're going to talk about the Kana.
Well, you think of a bloody
first.
Poem, then. You're so smart.
No, we're gonna. I love my storyline title for the Pat and the Anna and all everything storyline. Although it doesn't really describe the storyline quite well, it's quite nice. This is called Flora and Fauna. Because it was a little bit about Flora. Just
Who's
about.
Flora?
Finney's mum. And Fawn, which is the Free Anna Windass Now group, who we do not endorse
why,
in any way.
Why the hell wouldn't you just have called it Free Anna Windass and then you could be like, Fawn?
I don't know. Right, then we have a bit of a mixture of the Rob's got Roy's and
kidnap.
I did say
Kana
kidnap. I did. You're not listening. Your ears are clogged up with chest infection as well. Rob's got Roy's and Costa del Conno. We kind of merged together next. And then we had a little bit of Preggers Price on Monday and a bit of David story. No storyline title still on Friday. So starting off with the Kana stuff. Rana is still very ill on Monday. Gemma sympathises with her. And she's being looked after by Zidane, who kind of thinks that he's, you know, still doing his husbandly duty.
Well, I can
Is
offer.
He's going to worm his way back into her affections. I don't know.
I can offer an educated opinion on this from my own experience.
Don't go snogging your girlfriend and
yeah,
if you're sick.
After Kate arranges for Zidane to go off and get a dishwasher for cheap, Kate comes in and starts snogging Rana on the sofa.
Yeah, and she never caught that
Can't
flu
think of
afterwards
anything
either, did she?
I'd rather not do at the moment than snog Kate.
What about me?
You as well. Also, when you can't breathe because your nose is snotted up, the last thing you want is some lamprey eel attached to your mouth.
But to be honest, I don't think I'd want to snog you if you were in the sick state either, I'm afraid to say.
Can I tell you what?
Rather, definitely.
I'd rather have this than the flu.
Right, anyway, so the Habibs turn up, Mr. and Mrs. Habib turn up to surprise Rana, and then Alia catches them in the street and she's like, oh, she's at home at the moment, she's sick. We'll go and see her anyway. They walk in and find Rana and Kate doing whatever they do on top of each other on the sofa. Awful.
Gross.
It's terrible. And Alia didn't realise that they were a couple as well. She hadn't been told this news yet.
She's
and obviously
got a double
the parents
whammy
hadn't
now, isn't
either.
She?
Yeah, so they're all very disgusted. Alia's shocked.
It's a triple whammy because she didn't. First of all, she didn't know she was gay. Secondly, she's having an affair with Kate. And thirdly, she's cheating on her brother.
Exactly, exactly. So she goes running off to speed dial to tell Zidane. She's like, oh, I'm sorry.
OMD.
I didn't need to tell you this. Yeah, sit down. I'm going to come for a shock. Rana and Kate are having an affair. And he's like, that's stupid. Why are they doing it? How can they do this? Just in broad daylight or whatever. And Alia's a bit gutted that
Alia's
she's the last one to know
how
this.
How dare you?
But it has given her something else to cry
about
for the week. So all good. Yasmin comes back home and finds the Habibs there, who have a real go at her for allowing the pair to cavort under her roof. And Yasmin says, look, I knew this deal would never work anyway. And they storm out, and Yasmin has some lovely comforty scenes with Rana. Alia goes and finds Kate the Rovers later on and has a go at her. And it's a funny scene because Jenny, who's been kicked out of Michelle's house, and that's for another story, is busily getting drunk there because she's only had a corned beef sandwich or something to eat all day. And she speaks a bit too loudly about this affair when she finds out about it. And then the word starts to spread via Beth. Zidane comes into the Rovers and makes a swift exit once it becomes clear that he's being talked about. Then he goes and has a good old cry in the snow outside. And Weatherfield wasn't keeping up with the usual, well, the British weather patterns that we were actually getting this week, was it? Because it was actually hottest April day ever.
In the world.
Apparently this
including Costa Rica.
But snow in Weatherfield. So, Wednesday, Alia is on the warpath. Zidane thinks, the restaurant's never going to open now. And Rana thinks that her parents aren't going to miss the business opportunity for this, so maybe they'll still carry on and fund it. Yes, meanwhile, is still trying not to take sides too much, because she does have a little bit of a go at Kate.
Rana,
who's trying to move out. And
she says, you're not going anywhere.
Yes, exactly.
Go back.
Get up those stairs, lady. So, Mrs. Habib comes round and she manipulates Rana into coming to Pakistan because apparently her sister's dying. The sister that Rana hasn't seen for ages, but it's they should go off and go and see her. But secretly, it's a one-way ticket. She's
and
planning
it's also
to kidnap her.
A lie.
It's a big lie. Her sister's even fine. Anyway, Rana goes and tells Kate at the bistro that she's going off to Pakistan for a bit. Hopefully, while she's over there, she'll be able to convince her mum to come round to the idea of them two shacking up. So, Rana gets whisked away in the car. Mum scrubs her SIM card. She takes her phone, puts it in the glove box, scrubs the SIM card when she's not looking, and takes her inside to Habib Towers. Meanwhile, back on the street, Yasmin's getting very suspicious about this and asks Imran to inquire after his aunt, and he at first he's like, my mum wouldn't lie, but then it turns out that she is a big fat liar. And so they all rush off there to the Habib's house. Imran's told to bog off by his dad when he comes to the door.
He says
that they've already gone to the airport, so it's too late. Yasmin,
and at this point, really, they're just working off a hunch, aren't they?
Yes.
That
something's not quite right,
because they don't know that it's a one-way ticket.
Don't know it's a one-way ticket, but they do know that Auntie What's-It-Face is actually not sick at all, because
so
Imran's been in touch with Cousin What's-His-Face over there.
One can only assume why they are asking her to go to Pakistan.
Exactly. So, they're wondering what to do, and Zidane's just like, oh, we've got to go, let's just go to the airport quick before it's too late. And Kate's saying, no, I need to stay around. I saw her handbag inside the
house.
She would
never
leave
her handbag
somewhere and had that little lucky charm that I gave her.
Lucky charm.
So she gets out the car, lucky for Rana, because this is when the taxi pulls up outside the Habib house to take Mrs. Habib, and I keep calling her that because I can't remember what her actual first name is, and Rana to the airport. There's a big old kerfuffle where Rana realises that her tickets are indeed one way. She's pulled out the car. Everyone has a big old go at each other. Basically, it all ends in a mass disowning where Mr. Habib says, you are not my children, and Imran says, oh, you are not my father, I have no father.
They say, I disown you.
Yes, so then they all go home and have tea and they're all fine.
But Imran is a bit mad about it.
He is mad, yeah.
Yasmin's like, yay!
Let's celebrate, and Imran says, on the day I became an orphan, not Not I.
Not likely. No, you thanks. Old. You old. What is it though? What are we having? Cake? No, I don't want any cake.
Why would Imran not want cake?
Well, I don't really like cake. I'd rather have a sausage.
Whereas Rana would rather have sausage. No, Kate than a sausage.
Good one.
All right. Friday, what happens next? Rana is generally... Oh, no, there's not much for it on Friday, was there? Rana's basically just feeling sorry for herself. Aiden's worried that Kate could be in danger and she could come and get kidnapped away by the Habibs or, you know, taken out something. By a hitman or something. I mean, if they're thinking of that idea, I'll, you know, help fund it, maybe. Sophie overhears him talking to Susanna about her and she's like, can't believe that everything's been going on. She somehow managed to get from Monday, when everybody knew about it, to Friday, without even knowing about it herself somehow. I don't know why Sally wouldn't have told her. But anyway, she's very shocked. Kana can't tempt Rana out of the house. And then Kate, she does.
It's not Kana.
Kate can't take Kent. Kate can't take tempt Rana out of the house. But then she does. And they go to the Rovers. And Sophie makes a hasty exit when she turns up and sees them
and it's awkward. There.
And that was it for this week. So, big discussion point this week was the kidnapping drama, which I think we knew was coming for quite a way away because there were pictures in the press a few weeks ago whenever it was filmed, weren't they? So, what did you think, Gemma? Tell us what you really think.
Okay.
About the idea in general.
Right, okay. I had a few problems.
Go for it.
I'm too sick to beat around the bush. The thing is...
Rana wasn't.
Oh, my God. Oh, dear. Okay, right. So, one thing I didn't like about this was the fact that it's been described as honour-based abuse on Coronation Street social media through several different accounts from the beginning. But have we said before, I don't know if we said this, but it's not really until this kidnapping thing.
Yeah, right? It is.
So I think...
Well, some people would say that everything that was going on with the speed dial funding was...
Yeah, okay, I agree that the thing is, right, up until this point, you could have taken out the Habibs and put any other traditional family or abusive family in their place. There was nothing specific, was there? It was just a manipulation. It was just like bog standard soap dilemma, manipulation, homophobic old parents sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And the thing
Granny Spellman, but from a different perspective.
So Bavner's been putting on about every time there was scenes about the honours based abuse stuff. And I just don't want people to get the wrong idea about what it is. To be what it is, what honours based abuse is, right? Because I feel like there's a bit of prejudice that could be born from this situation, in that if a Muslim family is traditional and they disapprove of their child's more progressive behaviours, is that honours based abuse? I don't see how it is. I think there's very specific things that you do, like, you know,
kidnap your daughter.
Yeah, that is very specific, isn't it?
Yes, or keep her, you know,
keep her locked up or somewhere. I guess like the thing is, emotional blackmail is not the sole it's not under sole ownership of Muslim families. Any family with
I suppose there had been emotional abuse before the kidnap.
I know, but is that
bit had happened?
I just don't know. I think Bavner was tweeting about this event. The whole time she's tweeted about this, she was tweeting about this specific event, right? But people, I think, have misinterpreted what she said. And I also think that a lot of people on Twitter who are really into the Kana storyline have been treating it like the whole, you know, like the whole thing
story
is...
storyline is.
Mm. I don't really know where I'm going with this, but I thought it was a bit of a spoiler for her to have been saying it all along. Maybe. But you know what? The thing about it is that I don't have a perspective on it from that point of, you know, from her point of view, from the point of view of somebody who has been around Muslim families or brought up in Islam. Perhaps it's one of these things where your perspective well, it obviously is one of these things where your perspective changes.
Yeah. I thought that the kidnapping was an exciting midpoint to the week, and the fact that they had it all across one episode, seemingly coming out of nowhere. Some people might think, oh, that was over and done with a bit too quickly, but I think they were trying to play on the fact that this kind of thing could happen, and they just swoop in, take her, and all that. It can just come out of nowhere. I quite enjoyed that.
This is my other problem I had. I felt like the scene was directed in an odd way.
There were
a few strange decisions that were made.
I think the scene where everybody came to her rescue, or rather Kate came to her rescue and everybody helped out, that wasn't as good as it could have been. I'm not sure.
Rana sort of like went from, oh, I'm going to Pakistan.
She was like, it's fine, Kate, you don't need to rescue me.
Kate going, look at the ticket, and then she starts screaming.
Banging on the window.
Why is my ticket one way? And then everyone else was not really that emotional about it.
Taxi driver certainly
was. Taxi driver was like, not bothered at all, which is not realistic, because he would have been like, oh, I'm still getting paid for this. I'm going to put my meter on. I'm not having this.
I think part of my... I would have liked it if the scene had played out in like an airport or something. Yeah. But I mean, I know that, it's not viable to do that. But you know, if you imagine this was like a film or something, it would have been much more exciting to have an airport chase and go through the busy crowds and everything. And it was a bit low key. And my other problem was that I personally think that the actress who plays Rana's mum did not give a good performance. Really at all during that episode.
She was a bit deadpan.
She was a little bit.
Some people are like that, aren't they?
She didn't emote well enough, and some of the lines that she read out didn't come across as being very genuine. Didn't like that bit where she says, where she's supposed to say, call me Rana, where she's telling Rana to call her, but it just comes across as she's saying, call me Rana. I didn't buy her performance at all, I'm afraid to say, and I just wonder whether it was something like, I don't want to sound really horrible, it probably will do, but they cast Mr. and Mrs. Habib like a year and a half or so ago just for like a dinner party scene, and they obviously didn't know that they would become more important and prominent characters in the show. Sorry.
I don't know whether... Yeah, I know, but the thing about soap characters is that they're all, you know, they are actors, and not everyone in real life emotes as much as they are expected to, but...
She was no Sarah Harding, I'm not saying that.
The other thing I want to say is that I didn't feel any closure, right? Which makes me think more is to happen for this storyline, because at the moment everyone's like, oh, that's over and done with. Phew. Now Kana is together, you know, Kate and Rana are together. Great, it's the end of that. But nobody sat around and went, holy crap.
on Friday's episode, Rana was still having a good old cry about
Rana
it,
Rana was the
she?
Only one who seems to have grasped what the hell has just happened to her. She didn't, she kind of like, I was pleased that she did say a little bit to Kate, but you think there would have been a lot more of like, I can't believe you're doing this. What do you think you're doing? What are you even going to do? Why are you taking me to Pakistan? What are you going to do to me?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Imran was kind of like, he was like, well, I've expected this would happen all along. You're disowned. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is the sort of bad behaviour I expect from you. You would think that you would be utterly devastated.
Yeah, we didn't get to see any of Imran at all.
It's the same as the thing what happened with Pat, which is why I was like, Pat's not dead, because there was no closure or conclusion.
Didn't feel like an end to it.
I feel like...
There's still some more to come with this one, you reckon? Well, we'll obviously have to see. I mean, everything's still going to be going on with Speed Dial as well. And we've got to see the interior of that this week, which I thought was very kind of... It looked a bit like the bistro, but it was downstairs. And it was all kind of quite modern, but a bit scrubby. And I think that's the fashionable style these days. I don't know. But I liked it. I liked Speed Dial. Did you enjoy the new Speed Dial set?
Yes.
A little bit too close to the bistro, maybe?
I don't mind. I just want to say back about this this whole storyline about the Honours Base stuff.
Okay.
Right? I was down... we just were down on it. But the thing is, I thought I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really interesting. And the whole time the Nazirs have been in the show, especially me, I've been saying, let's have them tackle issues that Muslim families might tackle. Mm. Let's have them explore. They've got this platform to explore issues that means something to people of this faith, or people who are in this, who have been in this situation.
Yeah.
So it's really good that they did that, and I really think
I think so too.
And although I thought that the scenes were a bit rushed, I guess you could say that that's a compliment, because I wanted this drama to be played out for longer, because I was enjoying it, and it is one of the ultimate, you know, betrayals a family could have, and that's really emotional. And also, Bhavna was brilliant, Kate was brilliant.
Faye.
I'm
still enjoying Bhavna, but she's getting a little bit too teary for me. I think she's a great actress, and I know you would, and she's really brilliant. I said last week that I voted for her for Best Actress in the long list of the Soap Awards, but I'm getting a little bit fed up of her just crying too much now. She's turning into a bit of an Aahlia at the moment.
She got over her flu really good quick. Reason.
She did, didn't she? Are you a bit jealous of that?
All you
need is a good kidnapping to get those germs away.
True. Although I thought that the Habib parents were a bit stiff, I did like how Imran was very stern and kind of stoic. And he is the big brother, right?
Yeah.
So he was kind of like trying to be, now he's gonna kind of got to be like the man of the family almost, because they've disowned their parents. So he was trying to keep calm, but he was also, tell you what, when Charlie D'Amelio puts on his stern face, he scares the crap out of me. Don't you think? He was like, I disown you. I was like, oh no, I didn't do it.
It's because he's so tall as well. I can imagine him looming over you. You said about Mr. Habib being a bit stiff as well, and I think he was, not as much as Mum, but I did enjoy his line on, was it Monday, when he went round there and he's like, you are whoring out under your roof. And I thought, oh, you're allowed to say that on Coronation Street. I thought he delivered that one quite well. And old Yasmin, she gave as good as she got back
as
well.
Oh, she was great.
Absolutely brilliant this week, Yasmin. I'm really glad.
Always brilliant.
We've been staunch Yasmin supporters right from the beginning. And she's been in it, 4 years or so now? 3-4 years? We've always said we'd love Yasmin. And this week is one of the first times where I've seen, like, so much gushing universal praise for Shelley's performance and the character of Yasmin, and I'm glad that everybody else is now seeing her
as we do.
And she's had a few interviews on the telly as well, hasn't she, this week, or one at least. We saw her on, did you watch her interview? I saw her interview on whatever it was, Lorraine or This Morning or something, when she was just talking about the story and how it partially mirrored her experiences at being a lesbian herself. Obviously, she wasn't kidnapped when she was younger, and she related it to...
I was kidnapped and forced to be in Coronation Street.
She related it to the fact that her parents disowned her when she started seeing Sharif as well.
The character of Yasmin.
Yes, exactly, that character. She was just brilliant, and I loved the scene with her comforting Rana when there was the snow outside, or snowy rain or whatever it was, and they were in the orangery, and she's... Despite everything, that the fact that Rana has destroyed her family and devastated her son, she still has these really strong protective feelings over her. It's a little bit weird, and I think if I was Zidane, I'd be a bit miffed that my grandma was being so impartial.
This is the thing I was going to say. Although it is weird, it's important for the story to show that Yasmin, who is obviously a faith, keeps her faith because she observes Ramadan and she abstains from alcohol and everything. So she obviously is, unlike Rana, her religion is important to her. It shows, I hope it people pick up on it, that not all Muslims feel the same way about this.
Definitely.
So she's like the compassionate, progressive face of the religion, and I hope, and that's more prominent than the kind of ignorance of the parents.
I just like that she's the heart of the show. In a show where everybody likes to have a bit of a dig at each other and everyone can be a bit snarky and insulting or whatever, and not everyone's got their nasty side, Yasmin's just so lovely, isn't
she?
Well,
Michael, she doesn't like Tracy.
But she's not a pushover, is she? She's not just little miss, nice grandma.
I think she's so brilliant. And I remember watching the interview now with her, and I was
You saw her reading a tweet of the week today,
and she was so passionate and happy, because I've always got this fear in the back of my mind that Shelley King's going to leave Coronation Street because Yasmin is
underappreciated.
Not, some people don't like her at all, and she's very theatrical at times. She hasn't been so much lately, which I think is probably why she's become more popular.
Mm.
She's toned it down a little bit. But Shelley King's such an asset to the show, and Yasmin is such an interesting character.
Yeah,
I love her so much. Yeah. And so it was really good to see how happy Shelley King was. But, you know, as I always say, they are actors. Who could be lying?
I like the bit in that scene where Rana said, "I wish you were my mum."
Oh, I know.
So sweet. What else was there?
So, this week, this storyline, even though we had criticisms, I thought it was great.
Still one of my favourite bits of the week.
Yeah, definitely.
And I also quite like the fact that my prediction may be coming true about Sophie getting a job at Speed Dial. Remember we said when she was going after that manager's job at Swanky Restaurant by the Keys the other week, and we said maybe she could get some kind of managerial position at Speed Dial. She did actually go down there to ask about it, didn't she? So
she
uncovered things, exactly. She had been for another failed job interview, so I don't know whether like she was just turned down from like the head of a lawyer firm or prime minister or something like that.
She's like, I went to be chairman of the Bank of England, and they said, no, I don't have any experience. I think that's rude.
Yeah,
so I know what all the notes are.
The Dean of Oxford University. But so she's now lowering herself to maybe working at Speed Dial. Still a step up from window cleaning, you might say.
No, right. She owned her own business.
That's very true.
She wasn't just a window cleaner.
Fine. Right, flora and fauna storyline now, Gemma. So Monday, Liz sees that Summer's out shopping for Eileen down the corner shop and gets a little bit worried about how old Hermity Eileen's doing. She hasn't seen her for a week. And I guess she's given up texting her as well.
From looking after drug addict Billy.
I know.
To looking after chronically depressed Eileen.
I know. Well, if this idea of her wanting to be an astronomer or an astronaut or whatever doesn't play out, then she can be a nice carer or something, can't she?
She can be a psychologist.
Yeah. Anyway, Aidan, her crush Aidan,
gives her
a bit of money
because
she hasn't got enough.
Being an astronaut was not really a good idea when we were kids, was it? Because nothing was going on. But kids these days, they could potentially go to Mars.
I know.
No one let me go to Mars, so I don't want to go anyway. Seems crap. I watched The Martian, it's crap.
The film Martian was great.
The film was good, but I don't want to grow potatoes out of my poo.
No. Eileen is back at home, still laid upon the sofa, ignoring Liz's phone calls because she thinks she's the laughing stock after everything that happened with Pat recently. Summer is doing her best around the house. Meanwhile, Daniel has been to see Flora, Vinny's mum, if you've forgotten who she is, like Gemma, and feels bad because she's had to be moved out of the care home that she was in before, and she's in this dodgy place now because Vinny's not bankrolling on her on account of him being dead. Sinead and Ken worry that he's getting a little bit too involved with it. So on his way back from the pub at the end of Monday night, he drops off to Eileen's house, knocks on the door and says, "You need to buck your ideas up and help me and Gary get Anna out of prison." And Eileen, I think, probably sends him off on his way. Wednesday, there's starts off with a little bit of a mystery. Eileen's there at home and she hears somebody coming in through the front door. Who could it be? Is Pat there? Even though she thinks he's dead? No, it's Nicola. Nicola's back. After making a triumphant return to the street at the beginning a couple of weeks ago after the Pat stuff, and we haven't seen her since, she's now probably back in the show again. And she lets herself into Eileen's house, and Eileen basically dissolves into tears because of feeling so guilty. And she's just like, "I didn't know, I promise." And Nicola has been very, very understanding of it all this week. After spending a couple of months deceiving her when she was trying to get uncover Pat a couple of months ago. So Nicola understands that Eileen was fooled by Phelan. Eileen's like, "He's the only man who's ever loved me like that."
I know, it was weird. It's like, well, what about the fireman?
Well, he was just a big old racist, wasn't he? I say, what about Dennis Stringer? He was a lovely chap until he got killed in that car accident. I'm sure that they'd be happily married with many little Stringers.
No more
children.
No more Grimshaws.
No. Anyway. Nicola offers Eileen the opportunity to still be part of this baby's life as a kind of surrogate granny kind of figure.
That was very sweet.
Very, very nice, yes. Daniel has set up this Fawn campaign, this Free Anna Windass Now campaign, which he wants to take to the press and get Anna off of these charges that she's been wrongfully incarcerated for, in his opinion. He's arranging on
what
Wednesday.
What do you... Right.
We'll get to what we think. I know, I probably think he's acting the same as you. Seb's a bit scared about standing up to support her, though, for some reason. Sinead's getting a bit overwhelmed by the whole Fawn business because she thinks that Daniel's getting a bit obsessed by it. But he kind of cheers her up a bit later by asking her to move in with him. And they have some nice little forgiveness and kissy-wissy scenes and stuff later. So the Anna Windass fan club fill their bits for ITV News over in the cafe. Seb is kind of starting to mumble something in front of the cameras. Then Faye comes in and pushes him out of the way and is like, my mum's in prison and she didn't do anything. It was all feeling. And she knew about it because Eileen walks in. And Faye's obviously still not quite forgiven her. But yeah, Eileen, standing next to Nicola, kind of ashamedly says her bit. And kind of, yeah, saying, I didn't know about it and I'm sorry, you got to believe me. And, you know, maybe Anna should be let out of prison now. And they have a little scene outside the builder's yard where the ownership is passed on to Gary. Because obviously they think Pat is dead, but we know he's not. And Seb's going to work there too with him, so that's all nice. And Seb is also invited over to Eileen's to live as well. Eileen watches herself on the TV later, and then there's a nice little scene where the camera pans back behind Eileen's TV, and then it turns out, when it comes to the other side of it, it's somebody else's TV. Yes, Pat, he is watching his dear wife criticising him or whatever on
that's
the telly.
Just this marriage.
Just... Well, maybe it's more than just
criticising. I don't go on the national television. National news to be made about you. But if they asked me to, I would.
And his leg's all healed up probably now, and he's decides to call his landlady to say he's checking out tomorrow. So,
oh, I like that landlady. I wanted to.
I know.
I
want to see her again. She only got one scene.
I wanted to be like the Iago to his Jafar.
I know. We didn't get to see her at all. Friday, there's a little bit of misdirection around Pat's. Return his vengeful return because Eileen comes downstairs and finds out that her back door has been open. What could be going on there? Before she can going to investigate that a bit further, Gail comes round and there's a funny little scene, funny weird I think, where Gail is attempting to offer sympathy to Eileen, and she was like,
"Oh, she was also trying to one up her."
Exactly. It kind of started off one way, and then turned up the rest. She's like, "Oh, if you need a friend to talk to about this, you know, we can." I was married to a serial killer too. It turns into a bit of one upping, and basically, my husband was more dangerous than yours or something. Eileen chucks her out and says, "Oh, because Gail says also to her." You can try to forget about him, but you never will. He'll haunt you forever.
Helpful.
You'll go to sleep and you'll see his face. And Eileen kicks her out and says, "Oh, I'm not going to let Pat ruin my life. I'm going to move on." And so she's looking fairly positive about it. She also tries to sell her car on Friday, but then the bloke who comes around doesn't want to buy it when he realises that she's that mad old bat off the TV.
Well, also, the tyres were slashed.
Also, the tyres, they had nails stuck in the side of them, weren't they? From this mysterious...
It's not as advertised.
No, but he starts trying to take a selfie with her and then says, "Oh, you're a nut job anyway and a murderer." And then...
Cool.
They go off to the pub, and while they're there, we see somebody in...
Who is it?
We didn't know at the time, but we figured it out before the reveal, didn't we? Somebody's let themselves in through the back gate and into Eileen's kitchen. So they come home later, Eileen and Nicola, and realise that this intruder is upstairs. Obviously, we're supposed to think this is Pat at this point because we know that he was coming away from his B&B. But when Eileen clobbers her on the head with a frying pan and then goes down to look who it is, it's Abby! Not our cat,
no,
the other Abby.
She's shorter.
Seb's mum, Abby, back on the show. Brilliant. She's come in to rescue Seb from murderous Eileen, who she's also seen on the TV and doesn't trust. And it also turns out that she's been living rough and on park benches or anything. The twins weren't mentioned, but I'm assuming they're in foster care or something, or maybe we were told they were and I've forgotten about it. Anyway, they end up arguing in the street because Seb just wants her out of his life. Then in a nice making up scene in the Param community garden, Abby and Eileen have a nice little chat together. Abby's like, oh yeah, you know, sorry about that. I do believe you actually. I can help you out with your car if you like, because you know, I'm a fully qualified mechanic, which is quite handy. And she basically gives a bit of advice about moving on after Pat. And then she gets invited to spend the night on Eileen's sofa. So the Grimshaw house is bursting again, as it was in the olden days. Final scene of this week's episodes was somebody else mysterious, taking a spare key from underneath Eileen's plant pot, which we heard her talking to Abby about earlier. Who could it be? Probably Pat, but we won't know until maybe next week or maybe a lot long further ahead. So, darling, after that lovely synopsis by me, what did you think of this story this week?
Good.
Good, says Gemma. Lovely. Fawn, do you think that they're going to be successful in their endeavours to free the Windass One?
How can they, right? Because is Orsaface coming back?
Debbie Rush. Oh, you know what? I think that she is going to come back for a couple of short appearances.
Do you reckon?
I reckon
Why?
She is. I think that they are going to get Anna out. And I know there's lots of reasons why she shouldn't be let out. But I think that she's going to make a surprise reappearance. Maybe have something to do with Pat's comeuppance. At the very least, be there to smile smugly at him as he either gets killed or carted off to jail. Much like Alia was doing during that car scene, which wound me up.
When Debbie Rush was given her exit interviews, she mentioned again and again that it's a shame that Anna should be part of Pat's downfall, blah, blah, blah. And it almost came across like a bit kind of bitter. Not really, but you know what I mean? Like a bit kind of like, yeah, they didn't really give my character a good ending. So this would rectify it, and it would also give a bit more context to what she said, because rather than sort of like complaining about it, which I don't think she was, but it would be more of a case of like a little bit of a wink and a clue to people who look back and watch it again, because it would be really cool if that happened.
It would, and you know, we are obviously not the biggest Anna Windass fans, although we did say that we grew like to love her character a lot more because of how crazy she got, and she was very entertaining to watch in her final months. And we laughed and laughed and laughed as she was wrongfully thrown into prison.
Yeah,
but really,
it's one of those great comedy scenes.
Really, she shouldn't be in prison.
She shouldn't be in prison for that.
And she needs to get some sense of justice. And usually in a soap, if people are wrongfully arrested or incarcerated or whatever, they are released. And if somebody is trying to evade justice, they don't manage it. So I really don't think that Coronation Street is going to leave the narratively unsatisfying ending of Anna being hopelessly locked up for however many years it's supposed to be. I really think that they're going to get her out.
She wasn't an unpopular character. It's not like they'll be like, oh, well, no one cares what happens to her.
Exactly. I'd be perfectly happy for Anna to rot in prison.
Me too.
just for the lols. But, you know, my sense of morals says that, no, maybe she should come out a little bit earlier than the sentence that the judge has given for her. Although Pat didn't actually tell Eileen, you know what, I made sure that Anna got sent to prison. She didn't push him off the ladder at all.
Also, raped her.
Also, well, no, he said, I'm not a rapist, didn't he? But I don't believe there's actually any more concrete evidence that Anna didn't push Seb off the ladder at the moment. We know that she didn't.
Apart from the fact that Seb said she didn't.
Yeah, but Seb was saying that she didn't. During her trial, there's nothing's changed just because Pat's been uncovered or revealed to be a murderer. Just because he's a murderer, it doesn't mean that he lied in court and that Anna didn't push her. So,
well, it certainly calls his credibility into question.
Of course, it does.
And
that's
part of what they take into consideration. What did he testify?
Who, Pat?
Yeah.
Oh, I think he said that he saw her push.
We were No, he didn't.
Didn't they?
At the time, we were saying, really, although it's funny that Anna's going to prison, this is a bit of a sham of a...
Oh, we were, weren't we? It seemed like because, they should have let her off.
Because the person who accused her originally is now saying she didn't do it. And all you've got, really, they didn't find the earring after all that.
No, they did find the earring. Yeah, they just didn't get Rosie.
They didn't admit it into court, though, did they? They didn't use it as evidence.
I thought they did. I don't remember anymore.
Well,
things move so fast.
Fine.
But there's also the fact, of course, that she is still in prison for other things, like breaking out of prison.
She is
for that. And whacking Eileen.
She's not in prison for that.
I thought she was.
No, the trial was for her pushing Seb off a ladder.
Yeah, well, she should still get in trouble for hitting Eileen anyway.
I don't know how it works when you when things like that happen. Do you have to have more than one trial?
I don't know.
But she certainly didn't get done for that. But yeah, she should be in prison for trying to escape from prison. But then can you say, well, I wasn't supposed to be in prison, so it's fair game, innit? Because apparently in Germany, there's no punishment for trying to escape or escaping from prison.
Oh, really?
Because they consider it to be a natural human instinct.
Oh, well,
unless
there you
commit to crime in the process, like breaking something or hurting someone.
Maybe that person who snuck into Eileen's backyard at the end of Friday's episode and got the key from under the plant pot was actually Anna, and she's escaped again.
She could do. She's like a little Houdini, isn't she?
She is. But I do think
or like
she's going to get
those
out.
Annoying hamsters that you have that you put in a cage and you come back and it's like, where's the bloody hamster got? How's it getting out?
I do think that she's going to get out. I think that Fawn is going to be successful just because that is the satisfying thing to happen.
I know, but that makes it seem like Anna definitely has to come back in the show, because if Fawn succeeds and we don't see the fruit of this endeavour.
The fruit of the Fawn.
We're going to be annoyed. It's going to be unsatisfying, like you said.
Well, I think that she'll come out and then decide that she wants to move away somewhere.
No, I know, but we've got to see her at least.
Yeah, and I think we will.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, you can't have this campaigning and, like, going on television and everything, and then, oh, my phone's ringing. Oh, Anna's free. Great. Okay, I'll take the post.
Oh, she's gone to live with her Auntie Margaret.
She's not coming back to
Outer Hebrides.
Why?
Yeah. And Faye, you're going to stay here with your dad? Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
that's the only problem I have with the idea of Anna coming out. I don't know why Faye
maybe,
would stay on in Weatherfield
maybe
rather
she'll
than
come
go
out
with her.
And she'll get killed by Pat. Because we keep saying,
I don't know.
There's got to be another murder, haven't we? There's got to be another murder.
Yeah.
So...
Well, that'd be a double whammy, wouldn't it? Pat gets two death scenes, I assume he's going to get killed off, and maybe Anna gets chucked
two
in
exes.
Prison and then killed herself. I don't know, I can't work out how it's going to happen, but I'm definitely looking forward to it anyway. Speaking about characters that we don't see, I'm a bit disappointed that Flora is only being talked about. I was hoping to see old Granny, whatever her surname is, after her little appearance on the show last autumn, and now she's only being talked about. She needs to be on the ITV news, but alas, no. Right, so did you enjoy seeing Pat back on it on Wednesday? Was that a nice little end to the episode for you?
Yes.
I suppose it was quite made you think of that other time when he appeared at the end of the episode when it turned out he was still alive.
Yes.
Just used as a cliffhanger. I mean, he was Wednesday and presumably Friday's cliffhanger as well. I just can't work out when we'll get to see him again. I remember when we had that snow back in the beginning of March or mid-March or whenever it was, Connor McIntyre was photographed going around the back entrance into the ITV studios. And I'm assuming that he was filming all this stuff then, his little scenes in the B&B. And when he went off the pier in that Good Friday episode, that was one of the main things that made me think, well, surely Pat can't be finished, because it's only a few weeks ago that Connor McIntyre was photographed outside the ITV studios. What's he been doing there? And he was also talking on Twitter about being on a holiday rather than saying, oh, I've left the show. So I think that this week's was when he was filming that, but then it was after that that he then said, I'm going on holiday. So maybe, I'm not sure when we're going to get to see him again. Really don't know, but hope it's soon, but it might not be.
Tell you what, Coronation Street Studios needs an access point like the Ministry of Magic.
Oh, yeah.
So people can just go down the toilet.
Down the toilet.
And appear inside without anyone knowing.
Inside the chimney, yeah. Or I think the Ministry of Magic also had going into a phone box and you got sucked in. But
I imagine that magical soap operas are a lot better because there are no spoilers and there's no pap shots because they just wear invisibility cloaks.
Or they can just apparate into the studio, can't they, when they're filming? Right, what else was happening this week? Summer was good. Still really, really enjoying her. I think Matilda Freeman is doing a brilliant job. I think most people are agreeing that she's good. I know that not everybody is massive Summer supporter. Even some of our listeners aren't. But I think that she's such a lovely character. Defending Eileen online. That thing that she did when she tipped the milk away just to try and get Eileen out of the house.
I would have been so mad.
Wasting of milk. She's excellent. And even the stuff with her little crush on Aidan is, melting my heart a little bit.
Tell you what I do like about her is that there's a lot of pressure for girls to be likeable and cute, right, and friendly and upbeat, whereas she's not afraid to play Summer as a kind of like more sedate and kind of reserved girl, which is not always a popular, you a popular character.
No. And she's not a horrible bratty teenager either,
is she?
She's
quite an unusual character. There's not very many young girls. I mean, in like TV programmes, she wouldn't be a main character, would she? If there was a programme set in school, she would be like the SWAT.
Well, she is the
I know she is, but she's
Hermione Granger, isn't she?
No, she's not like Hermione.
Don't you think? She is. She's swotty and nice.
No, Hermione was a brat at the beginning.
Well, I think so. You might say that about Summer as well.
Guardian Leviosa.
This is turning into a Harry Potter podcast again, isn't it? But anyway, she's doing great. I really like the idea that they had her wanting to do the British Space Agency for her work experience. Because most people for work experience is like, oh, I'll just go back to my old primary school, or I'll go and work in a shop or in the factory where my dad worked or something. But the fact that they've said, well, Summer wouldn't do this. She'd obviously apply to the British Space Agency. Just kind of goes to show that they are making her a proper, bright, intelligent, and ambitious.
She has no future on the show.
Well,
what's she going to do? Like, open the weatherfield branch of the European Space Agency?
It reminded me a little bit of Curly with his telescope as well. I'm sure he would be proud that his legacy lives on. But she was good in that. But she ended up, even though she wanted to go to the British Space Agency and not a factory, she is actually ending up in the factory. And I think there's going to be some quite funny scenes coming up where she's going to be like being all nice to Aidan and, hugging up to him not hugging up to him, but like, a bit of brown nosing to him maybe. But she might also uncover a little bit about what's wrong with him, because we didn't get many clues about what's up with Aidan this week, did we?
After that big mystery last week. They're really using this character of Summer a lot more than they've used other child actors. She's getting...
She's becoming decent.
She's sticking her fingers in a lot of pies, isn't she? Because most kids all have like one storyline at a time, but she's just gone from one storyline to another, hasn't she?
Even compared to, say, Amy, and who's... We're big Amy fans, but she's still quite one note, and she's there to have the funny scenes with Tracy, isn't she, and be the thorn in the side of the Barlow family a little bit, and be the Blanche successor. But she's that's almost all that Amy's done. And you're right, they're putting Amy out there as a Summer out as a normal character and not just the child of these other characters. So hopefully she's...
She's the child of anyone, is she?
Not anymore.
Dare you bring this up?
Well, hopefully she's going to get... she will surely get at least nominated at the British Soap Awards, but I'd like it if she won an award.
Although it's really cute and sweet that she wants to work at the Space Agency, it's a kind of a lose-lose situation, because she's either going to go to work in space and she won't be on the show anymore. Or she's going to just spend her youth dreaming of the stars and then work at Roy's Rolls like everyone else.
Maybe it's going to be a bit like the Jude situation, and she'll tell everybody that she's an astrophysicist and working at the British Space Agency.
I've been to Mars actually this weekend. Do you want anything?
Yeah, but actually, what could she be doing? Selling telescopes or writing the horoscopes for the local paper?
Yeah. You'll be visited by a dark man who will bring you good news of goldfish. Beware of puddles.
Now, Abby, Gemma, very happy to see her back.
I love Abby. And Abby also is
blooming brilliant. And that she's another one who we were championing right from the start, a bit like Yasmin.
Isn't it funny how an actor can come in with a really unlikable character and just still charm you? That's what Connor McIntyre did. What Dolly Rose Campbell did with Gemma as well. Mm. Also, Shona as well. Mm. What's her face? Doing really well up to that point.
Not Shona.
Yeah, she was.
Was she unlikable? Oh, she was. I suppose she stole David's wallet, didn't she?
I didn't like her at all in the first scene. She isn't.
Yeah, that's true. But Abby is brilliant. It's just the performance that what's the actress she's called? Really Sally likeable. Carmen gives. She's so believable as the character, and she's one of these actors that doesn't just kind of rock up, say her lines, and then that's it.
She inhabits the character.
She totally does, and she gets just these little micro expressions that she gives, and these little side glances, and she's so believable as the character.
She's energetic and passionate.
Really, but really, yeah. She gives 100% in every single
Abby's
performance.
Abby's the kind of like earnest character who like 100% believes that, you know, like, oh yeah, Eileen's a murderer. She was in on it, and then 5 minutes later, Eileen had nothing to do with it. How could you?
I thought that was a little bit weird.
Yeah, but that's what she's like.
I hope she's not going to flip flop back the other way. But that scene in the community garden with Eileen and Abby was absolutely lovely.
Isn't it interesting that she was the second actor to have a part in the new set?
Who's the first?
Eileen.
Oh, Eileen, I suppose, yeah. Dumbo. Same time. Same yeah, it was scene. Interesting choosing not, you know, not having Ken Barlow be the first one to
walk
into it.
I know, and I was also expecting a bit more of a hammy, cheesy, like,
But they did have Abby saying, you know what, it's a lovely place, this, isn't it?
I didn't like that.
Kind of complimenting the set. It looks like they are revealing it gradually. I thought that Speed Dial was going to be opened on today's episode. I assume that's what it was building up
for. Yeah, because I'm not really excited
there's been a bit of a snag
about that, because although it's technically in the new bit, it's obviously an inside set in the studio, so
yeah,
I don't count it.
They've got the exterior, haven't they, which we didn't see. Literally all we saw was the community garden and then the snooker hall in the background. But I think it looked good, the new bit. It didn't feel out of place at all, did it?
I mean, I know it was a bit weird. Obviously. I thought it felt like EastEnders.
It did have a bit of an EastEnders feel to it, because they've got that bit in the middle of the square, haven't they?
The
little benches. Yeah, saying that, they've got two benches in that community garden. There's Martin's bench and then the one underneath the shelter. And Eileen and Abby were just sitting on the wall. But no, I thought it fitted in fine.
I don't think that B bench looks very comfortable to sit on.
it's like with the curve, you kind of slide off it.
It's like right angles. It's more to look at, isn't it? It's not very useful for anything. It's just beautiful.
I thought it fitted in fine. And I know we were there going, oh, it's the new set. But I think it's not going to take long before it feels very normal having that there, honestly.
Yeah,
and we'll
it's
be
like, what happened with the old
one? It's still odd that we are supposed to believe it's always been just round the corner, even though that scaffolding has been down the end of the Victoria Street for the past 5 years or however long it's been. But I think we just have to say, well, we know it's new. Let's
get over it, that's what I say.
Yeah, but that was a really lovely scene. I was taking in the gardeny ambience, which is the line that Abby used on it.
Nice. Do we like Pat being called the Scouse Ripper?
Yes.
Because there was a Yorkshire Ripper.
Yeah. And this is just a bit further west.
He didn't really rip anybody.
No. Well, still a good line. Rebecca tweeted us after the episode and said that she reckons that Abby is in cahoots with Pat. And I hadn't even considered that. But after having a thought about it, I don't think he is. I mean, The only reason, the only thing that might be a clue to that was the fact that Pat, if that was Pat at the end, knew that the key was under the plant pot, and Eileen had just told Abby that the key was under the plant pot. So maybe we're supposed to believe that she was on the phone to Pat saying, here's the key. But I don't think that she was in cahoots with him. I don't think that he would risk going to her and saying, oh, it's me, I'm not really dead.
Yeah, but she,
you hate Eileen, don't you? Me too.
She's motivated by money. She would do anything if you gave her money. I'm sure she would.
She would, and she did go around and steal the money out of the tin and everything. But if we're to believe that he only left his B&B on Wednesday, and then by Friday he's already convinced her to be on his side, get over the fact that this apparently dead man has returned to life. And then also, I think if he had Abby as his double agent, I don't think she would have gone in there sort of calling Eileen all names under the sun. She would have gone in there straight away saying, oh, I just come to see you, I saw you on the TV, I know you're innocent. And they wouldn't have had the whole charade of
I've been looking up ideas for Pat's serial killer name.
Oh, go on then.
I found this website which generates names, but I've made up my own based on some ideas, and I want to call him the Weatherfield Whisperer.
Weatherfield Whisperer, well, that does fit his personality quite well. We all know that infamous scene in the hospital.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's it.
Fine. Oh, okay. Any other options there? Well, because there's like
the figurine murderer, the sad face butcher, the Terminator, the slice and dicer, the handcuff slayer, the fang, the snatcher, the therapist.
Okay.
The challenge butcher.
Let's have the Weatherfield Whisperer then. Right, let's do the Robert story. Robert slash Jenny. What happened this week?
The pancake murderer.
What happened this week in the Robert? Do you want me to do this one, or do you want to do a synopsis?
Hang on a minute.
How's your voice doing?
Not very well.
You've been doing quite well this podcast. Okay. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
And you'll probably mean you'll be silent for the rest of the evening as well. Win-win. Go for it. What happened?
Robert. On Monday, he organises a Connor dinner party. Why does he do that? What's that about?
I don't remember. Just does.
Carla asks Ali's advice about steroids and admits that it's about Robert. And so Ali arranges to train with Robert so he can bring it up with him because he wants to talk to him about it. So who's at this party? So you've got Robert, Michelle, Jenny, Carla. Johnny, Carla... Oh,
Kate,
okay.
Maybe, Aiden. Yeah, they were there as well. Because Aiden was learning about Fanny Craddock. And
Roy. So the party starts. Carla comes in with Roy as her plus one.
Because he doesn't approve of her talking to Ali. And he wants to be her chaperone. Them, right? Yes.
Where am I?
Here on the
okay. list. Okay, so Carla notices again that Michelle's got more bruises. And she thinks it's Robert again, but Michelle... says, oh no, I just bummed myself at work, which I think is a lie. Do you think?
I think it probably is, yes.
Ali and Carla sneak into the hallway, and he comes onto her and starts snogging her, and then Michelle opens Obviously. The door and goes, ah!
What are you doing with your tongue down my son's throat? Don't
snog my son! And she ruins, you know, because she can't be cool about anything. Ruins the party, kicks everyone out. They haven't even had their food.
No.
I felt very sorry for Jenny. Jenny is
expecting
like
her trout,
the only
wasn't
normal
she?
Person in the whole thing. She's free alcohol and free food, and she's taking advantage of everything. And she gets kicked out before she gets to have a...
Brown
what are they having?
A trout.
Yeah, brown trout. I want some of that.
I think you may add a lucky steak, personally.
They had crayfish for starters. You wouldn't have liked it.
I would not have liked this party. Where are we up to now? So yeah, everyone gets kicked out apart from Carla,
and Robert makes himself scarce. So then
Michelle and Carla have a bit of an argy-bargy, don't they?
And Carla's like, "Why are you bothered? You didn't. He's not even really. You never raised him anyway, Ooh. Did you?" And she's like, "Oh, how dare you bring that up?" So all the Connor clan have decanted themselves to the pub, and Johnny gets mad because Jenny's drunk and is moaning about the fact she hasn't had dinner and she wants to go to Spain. And then he apologises later on. Goes to book the tickets to go to Spain on the plane. But then Kate arrives and cries about Rana. Ruins everything again. Ali and Carla end up in Roy's with wine. Do they?
Yeah, Roy's flat.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Then she gets annoyed and kicks him out. Because
she's
Michelle,
like, we can't be together.
Michelle is having too much of a hard time at the moment. She's my best friend. Plus, she's got bruises. And then Michelle is crying at the end of the episode because it's all about her.
Brilliant.
On Wednesday, Carla comes to the beach and realises that Robert's stashing pills there, calls him out on the fact that Michelle's got bruises. But then Michelle comes and she's like,
what are you doing here?
Is this when she says, and you're not coming to the wedding either?
No, that was Friday.
Oh, okay. I'll save that up to pretend I didn't say that. Carla is getting phone calls from Ali. She's trying to ignore him. But then Michelle's walking along the road when Ali comes up to Carla. And Carla says, please, just let's... Look, we had a great time. Let's just draw a line under it. And they have a little cuddle. And then Michelle comes up and goes, and then Carla says, Robert's on steroids. And Michelle's like, whatever, don't believe you.
Clip-clops off back to the bistro. Robert, are you on steroids?
Ah, Robert!
Yeah, and rather than have to put up with hours and days and weeks of her nagging him about it, he's like, fine.
Can I just give you wine and roses? And she's like, no! And he says, all right, I won't take steroids. And she goes, yeah, good. And then
Alex. Just call him Alex.
Tries to tell Carla that they should be back together again. I really do not buy his interest in her at all.
I know.
I can understand her fancying him, but I don't know what he... I mean, I think Carla's brilliant and beautiful and amazing, but she's a very intimidating woman, isn't she?
Yes.
Especially for a young man. I still think...
Yeah, he needs to find someone his own age.
I still think that he's only doing it to get Michelle.
I don't know anymore.
I really do think that's the only reason, and that's why I don't buy them as a couple. Mm. Yeah, she's like, oh, we met. Yeah, I know we had a great time, but it's not a good idea. So on Friday, Robert's like, oh, just to remind you, if you haven't seen Wednesday's episode, I'm not going to take steroids anymore because they're bad and naughty. And then Jenny says... Johnny, I want to go to Spain. It's easier for me to do those voices. And Johnny goes, I don't like that. Anyway, Carla comes in to the bistro and says, look, me and Ali are not going out with each other anymore.
Can we be friends now,
I want to
please.
Be your friend again.
I miss Michelle's the like,
no, you're uninvited to my wedding as well. I don't even think you can come. No one's coming to my wedding apart from me. And Carla's like, oh, great.
Yeah.
Carla's like, that. Oh no, the wedding of the century and I'm uninvited, oh no.
I save money on a present and anything. only Michelle would think that's a punishment.
I know. Hope she didn't take the label off her dress that she bought.
Right, can we talk about Jenny's stuff first? Because that was definite highlight of Monday's episode, wasn't
Tell
it?
Tell you what, has Sally Ann Matthews found her niche on Coronation Street of just being drunk the whole time?
Well, I mean, because it certainly got the fans talking, didn't it?
If Jenny was just in it, just sloshed out of her head from now until the day she leaves, I'd be fine with it. Because I thought she was hilarious.
I think that she's more
so
of a
good
one-note
acting.
Character.
Also, there are quite a few actors who do play drunk acting, and it always just seems a bit like they're playing.
Well,
whereas she... I think that was method acting.
When in the dinner party, it started to become apparent that, oh, okay, so Jenny's going to get drunk tonight and that's what they're going to use as the humour for this storyline. I was a little bit, okay, fine, a character gets drunk, isn't it hilarious? Fine, we'll sit through this as it's Jenny. But then as they moved into the Rovers and she unleashed the full force of that acting drunk
bit.
Talent, I was like, yeah, I'm fine, I'm going to...
She's so
I
good.
Will accept this.
And they gave
entertain
some
me,
amazing
Sally Ann Matthews.
Lines as well. Like the bit where she said, she's talking about Rana being a lesbian.
Yeah.
And then Johnny's like, and she's like, it is the 21st century, you're allowed to say lesbian. Or something like that. It was brilliant.
She had some great drunk lines. That's when Beth was there at the fruit machine, wasn't it?
And, listening in.
Lisa George's reaction to that was brilliant. And then she like glides from the from the fruit
like
machine
ghost.
Round to the front of the bar. And she goes, you know what, Kate and Rana, they're proper lesbos. But yeah, Jenny drunk was lovely. I like the story about Jenny being called Alan Bradley's little Fanny when she was little, and Aidan had to be told who Fanny Craddock was. That kind of thing annoys me a little bit when people who are our age have not heard of people who really we should have heard of.
You know, did you know who Fanny Craddock was?
Of course I knew who Fanny Craddock
was before you met me.
Well, I was only 18 then.
That's true.
You I can understand an 18-year-old not knowing who Fanny Craddock was, but Aidan's is our age and he really should know that. But
Fanny
anyway,
Craddock is a legend.
It was good for a little scene where we were talking about Fannies.
There's going to be a TV show soon about recreating her recipes or something.
Well, maybe Aidan should watch
She's
that.
My hero because she was horrible to her husband all the time.
Hey, she's your inspiration, is she? You found it.
I'm working my way up to it.
I am getting a little bit sick of almost every scene Jenny's in, Spain being brought up.
And they're not going to Spain.
And I saw somebody posting on the internet, like, whenever Jenny comes in, all she can talk about is Spain. And it's like, yeah, they are a little bit. And we know that she's not going to go to Spain.
No, but the thing
there's
is,
there's no
right,
drama there. The characters aren't leaving.
If you say you're going somewhere and you don't go the next day, you're not going, are you?
It's not happening, no. If you can't just pack up and leave, there's going to be some kind of bump in the road there. But
I
literally, every other scene, she's like, Jenny, when are we going to Spain? Oh, I'll book the ticket. I haven't got time now, and now it's come to, okay, I'll book the tickets. But did we even find out whether he booked the tickets?
No, he's not going to now because of Rana and Kate. And Aidan's going to be all like, oh, no,
the Rana and Kate stuff.
The Habibs are going to come and kidnap Kate now.
The Rana and Kate was the excuse for why I didn't book them on Monday's episode, but Friday it all come out.
No, up until then he's been like, oh, my kids need me, I can't go to Spain. So, really, that's only gotten worse as far as he can tell with the situation, because he didn't know about this and he didn't know there was, like, basically his daughter's partner of choice is in danger of being kidnapped and taken to Pakistan.
Mm.
Now is not the time to go to Spain.
Well, he just needs to tell Jenny that, I'm not going to look forward to seeing Jenny's hopes and dreams being dashed, but just to progress this storyline, which has literally been months and months and months of Jenny saying, can we go to Spain now? Can we go to Spain
now?
Let's go to Spain.
If they go to Spain now, they're going to miss out on the beautiful English summer.
Which has just started this week.
Well, it was Wednesday, wasn't it?
Yes, Wednesday, Thursday.
It was summer.
It's a glorious sunshine.
So it's good they didn't go.
Yeah. Very good point.
And it was snowing on Monday in Weatherfield.
I enjoyed Michelle finding Ali with his tongue down Carla's throat, just so that I could laugh at Michelle.
I think Ali wanted her to find them.
I
don't know what Carla's thinking. Carla's thinking.
Carla was a bit naive all week this week because of that. And also when she was on Wednesday's episode saying, oh, Ali, you know, we can't be together again, but just have a drink, or Ali, me and you really must split up now. Oh, thank you, you bought me some flowers, how lovely.
What have they ever spoken about?
I don't know what they've got in common.
They haven't
really got
anything in common, because
maybe he's into trashy romance novels and shoes, I don't know.
She's intelligent, but she's not an intellectual. You have to be studious to become a doctor. You can't be like, oh, I'm Jack the Large Me, but I also know medicine.
I don't think there's that much talking that's going on at the moment, to be honest. But they don't strike me as being having much long-term potential.
I think they don't think that either.
I think they would both say we're just having a bit of fun at the moment.
I was a bit
fed up with Carla on Wednesday, just her inability to kick Ali properly to the curb. So in a way, she does deserve Michelle's scorn. I still enjoyed Michelle's face falling when she found out.
You can't get mad when you know someone's going to get mad about something, and then they find out about it and they get mad. She knew that Michelle would react like this.
Yes.
So she shouldn't have done it.
Exactly. Moira was.
She wants to go out with a doctor. She should go out with Dr. Gaddis.
Yeah. That's very progressive for me. Mm. I enjoyed Moira on. Was it Wednesday when she was trying to find out all the goss about it, listening into.
Mm.
To Carla and Ali.
Yeah, great. Love it.
And wasn't she looking up Ali's... No, she was looking up Carla's medical records as well. She's going
to
get herself
fired. To find out how old she was.
Yeah. That's funny. But anyway, that's that story. It was okay. It wasn't too bad.
So
I'm a bit...
The saddest part of all of this is that, obviously, Carla's probably still going to have to go to this wedding.
I think she probably is still going to go to the wedding. If the wedding happens, and I see no reason why it won't at the moment.
It's not exactly Harry and Meghan, is it?
Not exactly. I'm sure Carla will be there, and maybe Ali will be there.
It's almost
and maybe
a month
Ryan
to go,
will
Michael.
Be there.
Month to go.
What?
19th
oh,
of May.
The royal wedding.
What are you going to wear?
what I am wearing now, jeans and t-shirt. Preggers Price. This kind of started, looked like it was going somewhere on Monday, and then they dropped off the radar Wednesday onwards. So Toya, who is currently being blackmailed by Simon,
by a small child,
has told everyone, "Oh, it's fine. I found my money in my other purse. What a dozy mare I am." And Simon is like, accepts her apology and he's glaring at her. He's like smiling and glaring. Such
got no chill, that kid, is he?
She,
Toya's like, "Look, I can't cope with this."
She can't cope with his smug gittishness.
Yeah.
And so she goes off to see her friend, she says.
Why doesn't she just make up a sister like Nicola did? Oh, yeah, there's another sister that you guys don't know about.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Apparently you can just attract them through your life.
Well, they already, her and Leanne already attracted a new sister in the form of Eva. So
yeah, that's what I mean.
Why not?
That's what I'm alluding to.
So she arrives at Eva's hideaway cottage and says,
tell you what,
Simon knows everything.
They keep calling these places cottages, don't they?
Yes.
But they're like giant country houses. What?
It's very nice.
How is she affording to rent this giant holiday home?
I don't know.
I'd stick a bunger in a caravan in Wales.
Maybe she's still got Aidan's credit cards stashed somewhere. So she goes out and she's really worried that she thinks that Simon knows. She said he doesn't know everything, but he knows that there's some kind of secret. And he's blackmailing me. Well, what do I do?
She's, they should just say they're
bitty, pretty pathetic about it.
They were talking about the secret, the law of attraction, where you can manifest your will in the universe by thinking about it really hard.
I don't know about that. That sounds like the sort of thing that someone would know about. Anyway, Eva tries to reassure Toya that Simon's just bluffing. It's going to be fine. You can't be held ransom by a 14-year-old kid or however old he is. Although really neither of them look completely sure about this because they know what Simon is capable of. And that was it. That was all we got to see. And I was just kind of left feeling a bit frustrated that Toya is being such a pushover during this. She really needs to just give him a good slap, doesn't she?
Yeah.
I wonder whether she will. That would be quite an interesting development to the story if Simon pushes her so far that she hits him. It's a bit like we've been rewatching all the Desperate Housewives recently, haven't we? And we got to the bit this week where Lynette slaps Kayla, her partially adopted daughter, and we're still supposed to like Lynette, but Kayla is such a nasty piece of work that the audience was kind of cheering when she did it, but then Lynette had to live with the shame of being a child slapper, and that could be an interesting development for Toya,
yeah.
And I'm sure that it might get a few more fans as well, because I think there's lots of people that think that Simon deserves
a slap.
Yes, not I that I would endorse that as a teacher, obviously.
A fevered dream this week involving Toya and Eva, but it was bizarre and abstract because of my illness.
Your fevered mind.
And it was something to do with taking Eva's skin off.
She does have good skin.
And Toya was sad about it.
And that's all you remember?
That's my Coronation Street dream.
Nice. Right, that was all there is to say about that story there, really, isn't there? Eva just needs to hurry up and have a baby, really. And Toya maybe needs to tell Peter the truth. Or is it too long? Is it too far past that now? I don't know. Story's a bit silly.
I mean,
I'm still kind of enjoying it in some kind of perverse way.
It gets beyond the point at which you can really admit something where the explanation for why you lied is more convoluted than what you're lying about in the first place.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, Well, I could have told you then, but then Eva said that she was going to tell Aidan, and Aidan said, "I don't believe you," and she had to do a blood test, and then she came back and said, "The deal's still on," and then, "Oh, Simon heard us," and I was like, I didn't know that at the time, and then Simon took 20 quid out of my pocket, and then I was like, "Oh, he's horrible," and then Eva went to the cottage, and then I was like, "Oh, Simon knows my secret."
And that's why I've not like, told you yet, babe.
Need to take a drink.
Right, David's storyline came back on Friday with a bang. Was it a bang? Not really, but there's a new character anyway. Sarah's moving out at last. She's gone to live in Victoria Court with Gary. Somehow,
how have they afforded this?
They can afford a luxury Gary's Victoria job? Street.
Oh, he's got the builders. He's just acquired
the building yard, yeah, so it's obviously enough for them to get that. And Audrey's gone into hospital to have a cast taken off. I was wondering whether we'd get to see more of Jeff at the hospital, because that's the reason she wanted to go, really, isn't it?
Has she even worked out yet that Jeff is
So I don't Tim's know dad. Because they're not showing any scenes. Because
they
with
revealed
them.
That like it was a secret, like it, like Coronation Street was like, here's a secret between you and me. Don't tell Audrey, but guess what?
Jeff
you
know is what Tim's I mean? Dad.
But then the next time I feel like we're gonna see them, Audrey's gonna be round the
Sally's house
going, oh, you're so funny. Mm. I can't believe you're related.
It's very weird how he was introduced for those two episodes and we haven't seen him again. Maybe next week. Anyway, new character, as I said. Emma, new apprentice at the salon because David's been, you know, having a bit of a rough times recently and slacking on his salon work. So Maria's employed a new girl who is a bit of a klutz, bit of a ditz, isn't she?
She's a bit spacey.
Yes, and she makes a bit of an impression on us all on Friday. And David can't cope with having someone with quite so much vim and life in his work.
But he's just a husk of a man, isn't he?
He is. He starts getting a bit overwhelmed because they're all talking about how hot Josh is. Who was it? Jenny was getting her hair done, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
We never got to even see that. Not only did we not find out whether they booked the plane tickets, we didn't get to see the result of Jenny's hair curling. So he ends up stropping off because... Oh, yeah, Arlie is there as well, isn't she? So she says she's got a date with Josh, which we also didn't get to see. Not that I'm complaining.
Ask David for tips because they're best friends.
Mm, but they're not. Anyway, he almost gets into a fight with Gary, who's out of hospital. Yeah,
and that's all it takes.
Yeah, and then he goes storming off. There's also the little bit of the story yesterday where Lily and Max end up absconding and going up to Roy's flat to see Shona because they miss her with a colourful snail picture. David gets cross when he realises that that's where they've been and is like,
You're not allowed to see Shona anymore.
Then he goes home and has a good cry in front of the mirror. As you would.
Yeah.
Because his life's been turned upside down at the moment. Yeah. I did think that was a good final scene. Thought that was a really good scene for the end of the week. Yet again, I mean, it's just proving what a fantastic actor Jack is.
Solid week.
Close up with his face.
And it was also...
Tears and everything.
Out of focus around the edges of his face.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed that. Let's see a bit more of that. Emma, first impressions? I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
But I also think that she's going to rub some people up the wrong way.
Yeah.
Viewers, I mean. But she reminded me a little bit of Sinead when she came in with her, like, yeah.
All, characters are almost ditziness. Never end up how they are introduced.
Yeah. She's obviously, they wanted to say, look at this. She is a bit.
She's an airhead.
Yeah.
She's a likeable airhead.
Yeah, and so they played that up to the max on Friday's episode. Because really, and they'll wind her down. That aspect
of Sinead is gone now.
Well, it's because of Chesney. I just hope that they don't pair Emma up with Chesney and he'll suck the soul out of her like he did with Sinead.
I forgot to mention that I thought, this came up on the Facebook group as well, that Abby, if she ends up getting a, working at the garage...
Oh, yeah, how did we miss that?
She's a mechanic. She obviously is now going to get a job working at the thing because Josh is not going to be around once that he gets unmasked as a rapist. So if there's an extra space, she'll get in there. And also, I am thinking of romance between her and Kevin. I'd really like that.
Could be, but then I'm still gunning for a Kevin and Jenny reunion. Ooh, Jenny versus Abby. I would pay to see that.
That would be a vicious one.
That would be brilliant.
I think there would only be one survivor.
I think it could be quite likely that they pair Abby up with Kevin, because he's been kind of not doing much since Alana's been incarcerated, has he?
There hasn't really been very much.
But then there's also Steve's a free agent as well. I think that Steve and Abby could go well together.
Hookups with the older, you know, the middle-aged crowd.
Well, only hooking them up with younger people. Yeah. With Carla.
Let's have more. Let's have that because there's been all the, you know, there's been romances with the younger lot.
Romance with the olders, with Alder and Jeff.
Let's have the normal people getting a go.
Yeah. They all shrivel up once we hit 30, you know.
I only remembered how old I was today when I looked at my prescription. So I keep thinking I'm older than I am.
35.
Hooray!
Right, yeah, Emma's looking good. Not much to say so far, I'm sure.
I'm interested, Yeah.
I think they've obviously brought her in at this time so that she can have some part to play in David's story. Maybe she's going to hear something or... No, I think she's too young for him. Not that that really makes that much of a difference in real life or Coronation Street. But I don't think that she is his type. He needs to go back to Shona. I feel so sad when he was telling the kids that they're not allowed to see Shona and Shona's face.
He's such a kid.
Yeah, but he's had bad experiences, hasn't he?
Troubling times.
He's had a bit of strife recently. Right, and that was it in this week's Coronation Street. So I thought it was a good week. It was not a perfect week. It wasn't a perfect week. I mean, the fact that it had a Michelle storyline in there. But, I mean, the fact that there was no mega stunts, but the kidnapping bit was exciting, but it wasn't done brilliant. It wasn't done as well as it could have been. But I was interested all the way through the week in pretty much all storylines. And I was thinking, oh, I wonder what's going to happen next. I can't wait to find out what happens next with such and such a story. And you know it's a boring week if you're just kind of sitting there going... sort of, and it's kind of washing over in you and you're saying, okay, that happened. But I was...
Oh, Chesney!
I was...
Oh, I'm so sad.
Yeah, I was engaged by all of it this week. So I am giving
Robert.
I'm giving it 4.5 little fannies out of 5 this week.
I was going to give it 4 Fanny Craddocks.
You can give it 4 Fanny Craddocks if you want to. I told you on Monday when Jenny said that line about little fannies. Oh. I said I'm having that.
No, I thought you said you were going to put it as a Twitter
thing.
I'll
do it as a Twitter thing as well.
I'm going to give it 4 Rana germs.
it only
takes one.
4? Not 4.5? Oh, you can have 4. You have
gave
4.
It 4?
No, I gave it 4.5. I gave it 4.5. It's not...
I'll give it 4 because I was sick.
Okay. Gemma did a jolly good job paying attention to it this week, even though she just wanted to curl up and die. My character of the week this week is Yasmin, and it's not Jenny, even though she was. I really, really enjoyed Jenny on Monday, but we didn't see a whole lot of her, and I just.
I need to cough.
You cough. Hurry up. Cough away.
No, hurry up.
Okay, Jenny. No, Yasmin, for her awesome acceptingness and heartfelt. Scenes with Rana and just how lovely and wonderful she is.
I'm going to pick Jenny because I thought she was great when she was drunk and she's funny and...
What more do you need?
You don't need much else.
Okay, fine. Right, we're almost going to end the show there, but I'm worried that Gemma's going to explode if she doesn't cough
soon.
Can
we
stop? I might play a little bit of music and then we'll do our endings after that. So here we go. There you go. Better out than in, Gemma. She's had a cough.
Satisfying
cough there. Right. We're not having a middle bit. We'll put it forward to next week. Otherwise, I fear that Gemma will lose her voice completely.
Fine.
And there's not been that much news this week, but it has been very exciting news. Baby news this week. So exciting. Octuplets.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They're blonde.
Yeah.
They're healthy
wet noses.
They've got a lot of bright careers ahead of them, as far
yeah,
as
but,
I can
Yeah, but sadly,
tell.
They all appear to be blind at the moment. No, that's Charlie Mello's new dogs, which... Charlie DeMello's new dogs, which is the most exciting baby
Look,
news that's
Michael,
happened to us this week.
I know you don't like dogs and you never owned one, but they're not called new dogs, they're called puppies.
New dogs. They pop out of the old dog. I've been watching every day.
Do you want a dog now?
No. But they have been very, very cute. This isn't even the proper baby news. I'm sure that Jenny McAlpine is sitting listening to this saying, oh, what are they going to say about
this
me?
This was just a big misdirection.
It was.
Because
just like
Charlie
Abby
DeMello has had, as his dog has had, 8 beautiful golden retriever puppies that are going to be
guide
dogs when they're
if
older,
they
hopefully.
Pass the test.
Unless they're stupid,
and
which
he's
case,
putting lots of cute pictures of them on Twitter and Instagram.
Sent to the butchers. the real news...
One of them will. He did a poo in his pocket earlier.
That's different from... Remember Polly in my pocket?
Yeah.
Wouldn't have been as popular if it was poo in my pocket. Although kids these days, if you made the little poo emojis and you had poo in your pocket, they'd love
then
it, wouldn't
snap
they?
Snap it up. Anyway.
Do you remember they used to have pocket monsters and...
Monster in pocket. I love those. I used to collect all the monster in my pockets.
Why don't...
They were squishy.
This is an idea that someone can take and use this. Why don't we take the concept of monster in my pocket... The name Poo in My Pocket and use the Bristol stool chart to create a range
all
of
eight.
create a range of lovable turd companions that you can put in your pocket and teach children about their bowels.
Anyway, this has all been one big setup to say congratulations, Jenny McAlpine. You're going to have another baby, if you didn't know already.
Hooray!
Well, and to Chris as well. I'm sure you played some part in this.
Second baby
after... is it Alfred, her first baby, that was born last year? Basically, it means that Scylla's probably going to get sick again later in the year, and Fizz is going to have to go off and look she after her for 6 months. She might fall out with Tyrone, possibly, so it could mean bad things for the Dobbs Stape household, but they're already in dire straits as it is. Maybe he's going to have round two with Gemma or something, I don't know. No. I hope not. But later this year.
It was actually in January.
What was in January?
When she gave birth, but she's doing it in reverse.
Oh, confuse me. I think it was probably after some post I'm a Celebrity...
Don't need
makeup.
To talk about it. I don't know why you're bringing romance. It up. It's inappropriate.
No, she's even second. Said it. She said it. I saw an article thing.
Right. The next bit is that we are speculating that the Coronation Street tours could be opening on Saturday, 26th of May.
Except it's not been officially revealed yet. And I was really expecting that on Friday, yesterday, they were going to announce the new tours to coincide with the new set appearing on the street for the first time, and they didn't. However, National Holidays, the company, are currently, you can buy a package
tour,
which includes going to the set, which they say is opening on the 26th of May, coach travel there, dinner, B&B, trip to Liverpool from £99 per person.
Oh, that sounds good.
And so obviously that couldn't happen if the set tours weren't opening. So they just need to hurry up and announce it. The last thing we heard is they're looking for planning permission, and you can apply to be a tour guide and whatever. Which
it's like a clandestine operation, like it's a front for drugs running or something.
Maybe they don't want to. Maybe they're worried about the last Coronation Street tour, with when they took the set on tour and then it blew up and then I was never heard of again, and they want to make sure that it's absolutely all right before they announce it. But anyway. Keep looking at Twitter and the news for that if you want to get in and be one of the first people to go on the tour, because it looks like it's only going to be open on Saturdays because we hear that there is filming or something going on other days.
I want to go on a tour of B&B and have dinner.
Well, we can just drive ourselves up there and it'll be cheaper maybe.
Yeah, but I always have to cook for you.
I want to get some press tickets to the tour because we're like press, aren't we?
We are like it, yeah.
We are like press, but a lot less...
professional.
Yeah, that's the word. Right. We are not going to do feedback this week because Gemma is dying. No, there's too much feedback to do. We'll tell people, we'll say everyone's
scores.
You've
got to do your scores.
We'll do the scores for last week. Rebecca gave it 3 beating up Gary's out of 5. Shay gave it 2 tapping fingers out of 5. And Nikki gave it 2.5 invisible baby bumps out of 5. And the score in the end was 3.12. We didn't get as many people voting this week or giving us their scores this week. Have people got bored of this idea already? I don't know. I'm not. I think it's brilliant, and everyone's a lot more creative than us with their scores some weeks. So keep it up. I'm pinning it to our Facebook page as well, so you don't have to scroll down loads to find it. Right. Sorry to all the people that have sent us feedback and everything, and we haven't got time to read it out this week. But Gemma is really bad. She's a bad girl.
No, I feel bad about the feedback.
Maybe we do a bumper one next week or something. I don't know. We need to go. We need to have our dinner. We're making pizza tonight.
Michael's making it for me.
What? Gemma has a cough. I'm making pizza tonight. And it's not even like a frozen pizza in the oven. We've got dough out and everything. I probably don't want to eat your doughy.
That's what I mean. I think you make your own germs into it.
Right. If you'd like to email us or whatever, or contact us and have us ignore your feedback like we have this week, conversationstreet@gmail.com is our email address.
We'll just read it and we'll go, huh.
Interesting.
And then we'll delete
it. We do read everything. Please follow us on Twitter if you haven't done already.
Don't kiss people with germs.
Like us on our Facebook page.
Don't.
Join our Facebook group.
Kidnap people and take them to Pakistan.
Send us a voicemail.
Because it's really rude.
Send us a voicemail. That'll save Gemma's voice. And review us on iTunes. Rebecca said that she reviewed us on iTunes today. I don't know what's taken her so long. But apparently it didn't come. Apparently it didn't work. There's something wrong with the iTunes reviews. Because probably like a million people have tried to review us. But it's not all worked. And that's why there's only about 15 there now.
Probably not have 4.5. We should have 4, like 1.5.
Shut up. Right. Well done, Gemma, for getting through the podcast. She did it, everybody, for you. So aren't you grateful for her? I am. I love her.
Oh, that was nice.
See you next week for a proper full-length episode.
Bye.
Ta-da for now. The music for this podcast came from podcastthemes.com.